take your Bible and we'll turn to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. I'm going to wait till she got out of here before I said this. She actually wrote that song. That's the original. So the Lord blessed her with that. And that's the two times that we were forgiven when we got saved. I think those of you that are saved, you remember experiencing that forgiveness. And then if you were like me, and you needed some more of it, daily, and several times a day. And so praise the Lord, He's got it, and He can help you remember that you're forgiven every time. All right, today I had obviously prayed and studied, and because of Emily getting saved this past week and getting baptized today, Lord gave me this sermon, and the title of it is, Can Children Be Saved? Can children be saved? And I'll just go ahead and say, yes, they can. I was 10 years old when I got saved, and my wife, I asked her, and I thought I remember this, she was 4 years old, 5 months and one day when she got saved. And then, kind of ironic, our oldest son was 4 years old, 5 months, and one day. And then I guess I blew it. I pushed him off a little bit too long. Our second son was 4 years old, 5 months, and 2 days. And so all three of them got saved within a day of each other as far as time goes. And so kids can be saved. Now, obviously, I'm going to show you today that God keeps them safe for a period of time. And then when the Scripture is involved, and it should be, this is when it starts growing. That seed's been planted. So, of course, we understand this. If a child has never went to church like me, I didn't get saved till I was 10. And I actually got saved on the first time I ever went to church, as far as this kind of church, and so forth. Or that first week, anyway. So the Scripture has to be there. And so it's going to be based on how much Scripture they have been given and how much they know and things like that. Because the Holy Spirit has to have the Scripture to work with. That's why the Bible calls it being born again. And of course, we won't go into great detail, but obviously we're born. The seed was planted and increase was there and we were born physically. Same way with spiritual birth. Being born again, what he told Nicodemus, you got to be born of the water once, and you got to be born of the Spirit. So that Spirit, that incorruptible seed, which is the Word of God, the Bible says in 2 Peter, has to be planted. All right? So then the Holy Spirit germinates and works on that, and then that's when they start asking questions. All right? And this is, I remember, a nerve-wracking time for a parent. Somebody would get saved and baptized, and they would say, well, I want to get saved and baptized. And then you start asking them questions, and it don't click. They're not giving the right answers yet. And you say, okay, we'll talk about that later. You keep listening in Sunday school. You keep paying attention in the family devotions and this, that, and the other. And lo and behold, it'll happen. Why? Because if they have the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit's going to start drawing. and so a child can be saved. And like I say, I was saved at 10. My wife and our two boys were saved at 4 and 5 months. And so, according to the Bible, you actually have to become like a little child to be saved. That's what the Bible says. And that's where we are. Matthew 18 and verse 3 says here, and verily, truly, God's telling you the truth here, and verily I say unto you, except ye be converted. So you have to be saved. You don't work it. It don't just happen. You're not born into it. You don't join a church to get it, but you have to be converted. And it says here, and become as little children. And what God is saying here is, us adults, we think we got it all figured out. So in other words, sometimes we let our feelings get in the way. And so you ask an adult, are you going to heaven? Well, I feel like I am. Well, how's that feel? What did you do what the Bible said? No, I just feel like I will. And he's like, Well, I think so. That's one of the number one answers. I think so. In other words, it's right here. Mentally, I think I'm going there. But we have to be spiritually born again, not think it, not feel it. And so it goes on to say, you have to be converted as a little child. Ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So in other words, a kid They don't have a lot of stuff up here that's got it all messed up. All right, it's the first time it's going in. All right, us adults, we've seen some Christians that weren't so Christian. Hypocrites, Pharisees. And we let that make us think, well, if that's a Christian, I don't want it. I don't feel like that's how they should be, so I'm not going. And it, that's why the Bible says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. It's up to you. So what we do, we let feelings and thinking get in the way. But what we have to do is like a little kid. A little kid will believe anything. That's why we all wanted to be Superman. We thought it was real. Right? Because we saw it on TV every Saturday morning. Super Friends. All right? I'm going to fly like that. I tried it. It didn't work, even with my cape. Okay? So because we thought it was for real. We thought they actually lived in the Batcave. And all that stuff was, we thought it was real. Why? Because we were kids. And so when we hear that, hey, Jesus loves you, okay. Hey, Jesus will save you, okay. All you got to do is ask Him to forgive you and come into your, okay. All right, so there's not a lot of junk up there that messes it up. Where we start, obviously, and we should, maybe learning the Bible, learning doctrines, learning this, learning that, watching the world, and then we got some thinkings going on, and we got some feelings going on, and we're like, I don't know about that Christianity stuff. I don't know about getting saved. And that's why Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit here, says, hey, you got to get like a little kid again and just believe what God said. God says, I love you. I gave you my Son. I love the whole world. It's not my will that any should perish. You just need to confess your sins, ask Him to come into your heart and say, okay, if that's what the Bible says, I want to do what God says. Verse 4 says this, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. Jesus had, called one of them to Him. There was a bunch of kids around trying to get to Jesus, and the disciples, they were being disciples. Kids, back up. Get over. Be quiet. Sit down. And Jesus is like, whoa, hey, don't do that. Come here. And He wanted the kids to come. So He wants the kids to be saved. I heard somebody say when they went out soul winning and they came back and said, did you have anybody saved today? Yep. We had 2.5 saved. 2.5? We mean had two adults and one kid saved? No. The other way around. We had 2 kids saved and an adult. Right? They have their whole life. 2 of them have their whole life to live saved. Right? The other guy, half his life's over. So he's a Christian now. He's saved. So we see that we have to become like a little child. So we as adults, we get that mentality, or we get our feelings involved, and we don't think as a kid anymore. But Jesus said, hey, you got to become just like a kid and just believe what I say in my word. Romans 12:3 says this, for I say, through the grace given unto me, every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought. In other words, Jesus is saying here, don't get your mentality, don't get that thinking, well, I can just earn my way to heaven. I'll turn over enough new leaves, I'll quit enough this, and I'll do this enough, or I'll give this much to missions, and I'll do... No, don't do that. Don't think of yourself more highly. Don't think you can figure it out on your own or earn it on your own. It says here, then you ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God dealt every man a measure of faith. So when God created every man or every woman, He put a little bit of measure of faith in there. Right? That's why you can go to the mission field and people have never heard the name Jesus Christ, and you can tell it. They probably won't get saved the first time because that's just the seed. But they'll have, and the ones that get saved, they'll tell you about this later in life. There was just something drawing me to that. I just wanted to hear more. Right? And they've never heard it their whole life. Why? Because all of them has got that little bit measure of faith. Now, of course, we can go the opposite way. And there's people that go all the way to the, Satan worship and all that kind of stuff. And they take that measure of faith and they just dilute it and get rid of it and go the opposite way. But God says here in Romans 12:3 that He gave, when He created man, He put a little measure of faith in there. Now, let's see what the Bible says about that. It says here, God wants us to take that measure of faith that we've been given, and He wants us to add stuff to it. Okay? And this is why, obviously, if you're raising kids, praise the Lord for Sunday school classes. Praise the Lord for King's Kids. Praise the Lord for Teen Hour. Praise the Lord for that. Why? Because it's adding to that faith. It's adding and adding and adding. And the Holy Spirit's got stuff to work with. And all of a sudden, they'll start asking questions like, when can I get saved? I don't want to die and go to hell. Why? Because that measure of faith that they were created with, now stuff's starting to be added to it. 2 Peter 1:5 says this, and besides this, besides that measure of faith, besides this giving all diligence. In other words, that's why the Bible says, work out your own salvation, fear and trembling. You better be diligent, not haphazard, not flippant, not apathetic. I've been given a measure of faith, and God wants me to add to that, and He wants to draw me. He wants to save me, and I better be diligent about this. And then it goes here, add to your faith. That little bit of measure of faith that you've been given to, add to it virtue and knowledge. So He put that little bit of measure of faith in there, that virtue. I want to be a good boy, and I want to be a good girl. I want to do what the Bible says. I want to obey mommy and daddy, and there's that virtue adding to it. This is why we do this, and this is why we go to church, and this is why we read our Bible. That's adding virtue. And then all of a sudden, knowledge. I'm a sinner. I deserve to go to hell. Jesus died in my place. His substitutionary death on the cross, and His blood can be applied. So in other words, we're adding to that measure of faith some virtue. We do this, we do that, we don't do that, we don't do that. Okay, all right. And then Jesus wants to give you some knowledge. And so we see that's going to start conforming us to that right standard of morality, God-likeness, valor, the Bible even says, merit, some of that good stuff. So He gave us that measure of faith, and He says, here, I want you to add to your measure of faith some virtue and some knowledge. Okay, Romans 10:17, very familiar verse. So, then faith, because we can't get saved without faith, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So here's three things in our introduction. God created the human. And we're going to see some more verses about that in just a second. And He put a little measure of faith in there. And then mommy and daddy are teaching us right and wrong. And do this and don't do that. And add some virtue. And we're going to go to Sunday school. And we're going to go to preaching. Maybe even Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Why? Because we need it. Because the Bible says, so faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we have that measure that God created us with. Our parents and the Word of God is teaching us some valor and some knowledge and things like that. And then we go to church and we hear the Bible preached. We go to Sunday school and we hear the Bible taught. And man, it's just growing in there. So we see here, we can start learning to do personal devotions. Obviously, that's an adult. A child probably has family devotions. And in Sunday school, AM church, PM church, Wednesday night, King's Kids, Teen Hour, Bible studies, revivals. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So obviously, once I realized that, and those two boys that were in my house, I was like, God, with Your help, I'm not just going to do a little bit of it. I'm going to do a whole lot of it. Every time those doors are open, our little backsides are going to be sitting in those pews. Why? Because I want you to be able to add to their faith. I want you to call them and save them. Draw them and save them. I'm not going to keep them out. It's not going to be my fault. And so we see that we need faith. We need that virtue. We need that knowledge. We need the Holy Spirit to draw. So then that comes from Bible reading, Bible preaching, Bible studying, church, personal, all that kind of stuff. That's how we add that Scripture. So every adult or child was created by God, is loved by God, and has a purpose that God created us. So no little kid is just an oops. No little kid is going to slip through the system. I mean, obviously this world is full of hurt and garbage. I mean, people that would take kids and sell them and do all that garbage, this is a wicked place. All right? But God had a purpose for that kid. Somebody's messed that purpose up. Ran out on them, left them. Situations, I mean, horrible, horrible. But God loves them just as much as He loves the little one that's going to get baptized today that's got a mommy and a daddy that love her. That kid out there that hasn't a mom, hasn't a dad, is in the system, God still loves them. God still has a purpose. So we see 1 Peter 1:20 says this, who verily was foreordained before the foundations of the world. So every little kid that was born, including us old people, we were born as a little kid. Before any of that happened, we were in God's mind before the foundations of the world. So don't tell me a kid can't get saved, because our God had them, him, her, in his mind before this world was even created. Ephesians 1:4, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundations of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So not only did he know us before the foundations of the world, he had it created that we were going to have an opportunity to be saved. He had some type of job that he wanted us to do. So God would tell the child that, hey, I love you. And again, I've mentioned some horrible stuff already this morning. And there's kids that are in this earth because rape, incest. But according to the Bible, they were in God's mind before this world was created. And we might say, that was horrible. That came along in a bad way. And just like we believe, we shouldn't add to that with murder. They ought to be able to hear, God loves you before the foundation of the world. This is a bad situation like we saw in Sunday school. But it can bring some eventual good. Bad situation, that kid can get saved. That kid, I know of kids that have that type of lifestyle. They went to Bible college. They're in the ministry now. If they talk about their beginning, it's pretty bleak, pretty sad. But God saved them, and they're still serving God today. So it's not God's will that any of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that was his mindset before this world was created. So we're going to look at 3 points here today. Can a child be saved? Yes, they can. Number one, but they're safe until a certain time. What age is it? It's not a certain age. We're going to see that in just a second. Some people have tagged it as the age of accountability. That phrase is not in the Bible, but we will see that there are knowing good and evil. There are those verses, so that's what they've tagged it there. But the Bible teaches before they've come to that age of accountability or knowing good and wrong, they're safe. They're safe. And so some of those things that we just alluded to, praise the Lord, they may have been a child of rape and child of incest, and then they were murdered, aborted. But according to the Bible, they're in heaven. And praise the Lord, because they were safe. And where people get that from and where they believe it is found in 2, if you want to write these verses down, but 2 Samuel 12:23. 2 Samuel 12:23, and what the context here is, David has obviously should have been at war, but he was at home, went up on the roof, saw Bathsheba bathing, went over there, committed adultery with her, obviously sent her husband to the front line so he would be killed, and they have a baby. And God, judgment, it was stillborn, if you want to call it that, it died. And so in that verse, 2 Samuel 12:23. This is obviously David talking to God, but now he is dead. And so I can imagine the guilt he felt. He could have said, and he is dead, and it's my fault. This situation shouldn't have never taken place. Just like a lot of people say today. But the fact is, there was a baby. All right? So it says here, now he's dead. Wherefore should I fast? I don't think it's going to fix it. I mean, you can stop eating Cheetos, Snickers bars. You can stop eating real food. It's not going to bring a baby back to life. Then it goes this here. So can I bring him back again? Question mark. And here's where people use that safe statement. It says here, I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. So according to this verse, David knew that he was in heaven. And that little baby obviously was born in sin, but every child is born in sin, the Bible says. So it's not a worse sin, so I'm going to go ahead and abort. No. But the child died. But it says here, David said, hey, I know I'll go to him one day, but he's not going to come to here. So a baby that dies, and there's been stillborn, there's been babies that lived a couple days, obviously there's been abortion. But according to the Bible, that baby is safe, and they go to heaven, and we will go there. The next place it teaches that the child is safe is before the age of accountability, and this is found in Isaiah 7:15-16. Isaiah 7:15-16 teaches us that that child, all right, if they die before that age, they're going to go to heaven. They are safe. God's not going to send them to hell. And Isaiah 7:15-16 says this, butter and honey. Got Brother Steve's attention. Right there, amen. Butter and honey shall he eat. All right, that he may know and refuse evil and choose good. So in other words, we give kids good food, supposedly. I've taken a bite of that baby food stuff. And that's nasty. All right. But anyway, what we do, in other words, we teach a kid that butter's good. What's these recipes? You start with 2 sticks of butter. No wonder we're... But anyway, butter's good and honey's good. And so they know. And you know, a kid, if they like it, they're kicking the bottom of their high chair. I want it now. Give me some more. Why? Because they know it's good. But then lo and behold, you bring out some spam stuff posing as meat, right? That's what spam means. All right, some meat. And they're... Or broccoli. I learned to eat it. Squash, I learned to eat it. But anyway, the kid knows. That tastes good. That don't taste good. Bang, bang, bang. Give me some more. Or I don't want that. Okay? So, that's why they learn the good and the evil. In verse 16 it says this, for before the child shall know to refuse evil and choose good. So a child obviously needs to learn between good and evil. Good and evil. Good and evil. So then when they get there and it's like, that's bad. That's good. I shouldn't do that. I should do this. I ended up doing that anyway. So now I'm a sinner. And they start getting it. That measure of faith that's been added to, then they heard the Word of God, and then lo and behold, they figure out, that's bad, that's good. So we see that the Bible says that they're safe until they know that age of accountability, that right and wrong. A couple other places this is found is in Acts 17:30. Acts 17:30 says this, and the times of this ignorance. Okay, and that basically means they didn't know. They don't know. They're ignorant of the truth. They don't know it. So at the times of this ignorance, they didn't know better, God winked. Right? In other words, if you look up wink, there, you know how to wink. I can do it with my left eye. I can't do it with my right eye without doing this. But he winked. In other words, he overlooked it. He's like, they don't know better yet. They don't know. So he winked. It says here, and but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Hey, you didn't know? I'm going to wink. You do know and choose to do wrong, I'm coming. Commandment. You better repent. 1 Timothy 1:13. Who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly or ignorance in unbelief. So again, this is where people get that age of accountability. They don't know right from wrong. They did it ignorantly. Leviticus 4:22-23, Leviticus 5:17 basically talks about the different levels of punishment. It even indicates that there's going to be different levels of hell. Maybe the person that never heard the gospel. According to the Bible, they will die and go to hell. That's why we've got to send missionaries. That's why we've got to go to every creature. But if they do die and never heard it, they will go to hell. But according to those verses there, their hell will be this level of heat, punishment. This person that got the gospel from an from when they were a kid, rejected it. When they were a teenager, rejected it. When they were adult, rejected it. Went out and just did wrong and lived a wicked lifestyle. The Bible says their punishment in hell is going to be even hotter. So God sees here that they're safe because they don't know any better. They don't know right from wrong. They did it in ignorance. Now, once we know, we're accountable, the Bible says. To whom much is given, much is required. You know the truth. You've got to do something with it. So Psalm 116:6, it says here, here's the last verse we'll talk about in this safe thing. Psalm 116:6 says here, the Lord preserveth the simple. And that simple word right there basically means the unlearned. In other words, they don't know yet. God's going to preserve them. He put that measure of faith in there. Nothing's been added to it yet. I'm going to preserve them. I'm going to keep them right here. Why? Because there's a missionary coming, or there's a church that's going to pass out a tract, or there's a Christian that's going to live next door. I'm going to preserve them. They don't know. So we see here, first of all, the child is safe. Secondly, we see the child needs the Scripture. Needs the Scripture. So here now becomes the adult's responsibility. We're going to see some verses that tell us that they're safe, but what you have to do, and you can't do reverse negative on God, they're safe. Now what we have to do is teach them the truth. So what I'm going to do is just not teach them the truth, and they'll be safe. They're going to learn. They're going to get there. But here's our commands. Proverbs 22:6, very familiar verse to a parent. Train up a child. All right. So add some virtue. Add some knowledge. Why? Because God put that measure of faith in there. So we've got to teach them. Train up a child in the way they should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And again, I always have to say this when I read this verse. A lot of people's like, well, that's a probability, not a promise. Wrong answer. Well, I know some preacher's kids that were trained up and now they're, you know, devil worshipers or they're living in sin. I guarantee you, they left the way, but the way's still with them. They pillow that head at night. They remember those family devotions where they heard John 3:16. They remember that Jesus died on the cross. So you train them up. They won't ever be able to get away from that. Because that measure of faith's been put in there, created in there. And you added, with God's help and the Holy Spirit's help, you added. So they might leave the way, but the way is going to go with them. That's why the Bible talks about that sweet sleep. They won't have any. Ephesians 6:4, and you fathers, oh, wham. All right. My wife, she didn't do this much. She was a mama. But you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. So I saw my responsibility, train them. Bless God, they're going to get some virtue. They're going to get some knowledge if I have to, you know, open their head and put it down in there. In other words, what I have to do is figure out a way to make it fun, to make it interesting, to make it where they want it. If I sit down, shut up, don't move, I'm giving family devotion. That's not going to last very long. Bless God, you see that belt, I'll tear you up, you move, you make a sound. And they're probably going to be like, oh. We can't provoke them. But we can say, hey, God loves us. And I love you. And I love God. And I want to make Him proud. And He commanded me. So let's make this fun. Let's make this exciting. The Bible says, you got a little measure of faith in you. And let's start doing it and make it fun. In other words, you know, when you're teaching Daniel in the lion's den, go, rawr! Jump up on the couch. Okay? Peter walking on the water. We got to make it come alive. Not provoke them to wrath. Shut up, sit down, bless God. We got to teach them. Fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. So make it fun. Make it sweet. Make it exciting. Make it, this is what we do. We're Stanleys or we're this. And we're going to live the way God wants us to live. Make it exciting. And again, if you make sports exciting, make Scripture exciting. If you make chores exciting, make Scripture exciting. Again, that's what we're supposed to do. And here it is, Deuteronomy 6:7. When should we do it? Glad you asked. Deuteronomy 6:7. And thou shalt teach them diligently. Why? Because they were created with that measure of faith. And we've got to let God add to that some virtue and some knowledge and some Scripture so they can get saved one day. So they can live like God wants them to. So, you shall teach them diligently unto thy children, and thou shalt talk to them when thou sittest down in the house. Supper, maybe even before TV or before cell phones out the wazoo. When you sit down, teach it to them. Thou shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thy house. Here's another one. And when thou walkest by the way, when we're out and about. I think I've used this illustration before. I taught my boys, you know, we don't wear that, we don't drink that, we don't taste that, we don't do this, we don't do that. And I mean, they were militant about it. I mean, bless God. I mean, I got in a fight at Walmart, you know, 6'8" dude, got him a, you know, 12-pack of beer. Dad, he's sinning. Look at that. Yes, son, he is. yeah, that's right. And then I remember one time a dude come by, you know, on the Harley, hair blowing in the wind, and you know, chains and tattoos and things like that. And I mean, they're up against the, he's a sinner. He's got long hair. Men shouldn't have long hair. He's a sissy. He's wearing a necklace. He shouldn't have a tattoo. And I was like, oh, okay. I've been training them and teaching them. So now I got to teach them some love. All right? Not to accept or become like that, but to say, hey, but for the grace of God. They could be like that. You could be like that. And he needs to be saved so he can not be like that. And so we have to teach him that. So teach him when you go about the way. And it says here, and when thou liest down. So in other words, bedtime stories. It would be a great time to have Bible and teaching them. And then it says here, when you wake up. So in other words, all the time. When you're sitting in your house, when you're out about, when you're going to bed, when you're waking up, just teach them the Word of God. Why? Because they would add that measure of faith. We've got to put that virtue and that knowledge in the Scripture there. So children are safe till they learn right from wrong. 2 Timothy 3, 14 through 16. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of. So what we've learned in the Bible, we teach our kids. We've learned it and we're assured of it. This is what the Bible says. This is how God wants to do it. Knowing whom thou hast learned them. Okay, my preacher taught me that, or my Sunday school teacher taught me that, or this great Christian, they taught me that. Verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures. There it is, right there in the Bible. They're safe, but they need to start learning the Holy Scriptures. So that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which was able to make me wise unto salvation. That's why a kid can get saved. Why? Because they've been taught the Scriptures. They were safe until they knew right from wrong. Then they had a salvation offered to them. They took it. Therefore, faith, which is in Christ Jesus, and of course we have the promise, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So all the Bible is good for all that. Teach your kid. They've got that measure of faith. Let's add some virtue and knowledge. So just like we teach our children how to drink. Hey, I mean, just like that measure of faith, God put a little bit of wanting some milk, desiring milk. And I'm a little mean. I did this to my grandkids. You know, they have those pacifiers. And I'd touch it right here, and they'd go. And I'd touch it right here, and they'd go. And I'd touch it up here, and they'd go. And I'd touch it right here. And I'd be just chasing around. I did that to all my grandkids till they got to the point they would grab my hand and put it in. Right? They knew what they wanted. Why? Because it's in them. So we teach our kids where they're nursing or whether it's a bottle or where it's a sippy cup. And then they graduate. This cup don't have a top on it. I'm a big kid now. Same way with food, baby food, real people food cut up or mished up. Then real people food. We teach them how to stay in the bed. Right? I mean, little kids, they swaddle them so tight like a burrito, they can't move. They can't get out of bed. So then they get a big boy bed or a big girl bed, and then they'll come to yours. And then sometimes we're so sleepy we don't go and take, no, teach them to stay in their bed, or they'll be 35 trying to still sneak in there. We taught them how to bathe. We taught them how to get dressed. We taught them the ABCs. We taught them the 1, 2, 3s. And so what are we supposed to teach them? Even more important than food, they ought to know the Word of God. They'll never hunger again. More important than drink, they ought to know the Word of God. They'll never thirst again. The Bible even says more important than sleep. Love not sleep, but love the Bible. More important than bathing. There was washing of feet in the Bible. There were all this kind of stuff. But more important than that, we all know the Bible. How to get dressed. The Bible says, take no thought. Hey, don't stand there in the closet and like, what's going to make me look hot? What's going to make me look the best? No, don't even think that. Just get dressed. You ought to know the Bible. So we see that we ought to teach them the Scripture. So the time between the safe and the Scripture and salvation is probably the most nerve-wracking time for a parent. Because you know they've went from safe to they got enough Scripture, they know. Now they got to decide to be saved. And you're like, oh. And so, again, we went to our pastor. What do? You just keep teaching. You answer any question. But you can even bring up stuff. But, you can't force them. I mean, I could have went in there and said, you're going to die and fry, sizzle like bacon if you don't pray this prayer. I could have done that. I could have put them in a headlock. Repeat after me. But they have to be drawn of the Holy Spirit. Hey, I can't save them. They got to have the Holy Spirit. So what we do, praise God they're safe. Oh no, they're starting to figure it out. What do I do? No, you just keep teaching. You keep bringing them to church. And you answer the question. And what we were told to do was like when they came to us at church, whether somebody got saved or they came out of Sunday school and it was on heaven, I want to be saved. Remind me when we get home and we'll talk about it. And if they get home and they're not reminding you, the Holy Spirit's not pounding. They can go play. They can go to sleep. They can go eat. It'll come to the point where they can't stop. They will say, I need to be saved like right now. do this and do this, but we're going to talk about it. And so you'll know when the Holy Spirit's there. So we see Deuteronomy 32:20 says this. And He said, I will hide My face from them. I will see what their end shall be. And they are very froward, or a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. So we saw that they were created with a measure of faith. But they had gotten to the point in the life where God's like, I'm going to just destroy the world. Because look at all those kids. It's like they don't have any faith in them. Yes, mom and dad dropped the ball. Yes, preachers of the day dropped the ball. Worldliness took over. And you can go out in this world today and you can see some kids acting in a way you're like, they've never been to Sunday school. They've never been to church. They've never had a family devotion. Not to the point where we're better than that. No, it ought to be sad. That's what God says. I look down and I'm looking at this generation and they're forward. And they're wicked. And it's like they don't even have any faith in them. Psalm 12:1 says this, Help, Lord, for the godly men ceaseth from their faithfulness, and the faithful fail among the children of men. So again, the reason that there's a lot of kids in our world today that can't be saved yet, but they're not safe anymore, is because godly men have ceased to bring them to church. They ceased to have family devotions. They ceased to add virtue to their child's life. So you can tell the difference between a child that has no faith and a child that has that measure of faith and there's been stuff added to it. In other words, they yes ma'am, no ma'am. Wow. Usually in our day and time, they don't call me ma'am. But anyway, they've been raised right. They've had some virtue. Hebrews 11:23 says this, But Moses, when he was born, he was hid for 3 months of his parents because they saw that he was a proper child. So we see in Deuteronomy, God was seeing kids with no faith because parents, preachers had dropped the ball. Here, Moses, man, proper child. Why? Because some virtue had been added. So, Psalm 8:2, very familiar verse, out of the mouths of babes and sucklings. Thou hast ordained strength. So if it's been put in them, they will say the right thing. You've seen the little clips. Kids say I won't say what they say, the wildest things or the craziest things. If it's put in a kid, they're going to say it. Like they'll go up to a lady at her wedding, and my mama said, you should wear a black dress. You shouldn't be donning a white dress. I mean, kids are going to say, shh, don't say that. But if you put the truth in them, they're going to say it. So a kid can be saved. So data in, data out. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. So put the Word of God in them so that they can be born again. So a child is safe. A child needs the Scriptures. And then number three, a child can be saved. Mark 10:14 says this, but when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased and said, suffer the little children to come and forbid them not. So then Mark was saying when we were reading in Matthew in the beginning, the disciples were keeping the kids away and Jesus said, hey, don't suffer them. Don't tell them to come right here. They can't. Let them come. John 6:44, no man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. Got to have the Holy Spirit. John 8:32, and he shall know the truth, and the truth shall make him free. So a child that knows the truth, and they know that they can come, and the Holy Spirit draws them, we got to let them. So truth, drawn of God, a child can accept Jesus as their Savior. And I won't take time to do this, but I brought one of our tracts up. And if you open our tracts on the inside, and I try to show all the kids this, it's very simple. Why? Because unless you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You've got to be saved, the way the Bible says. And so what we did is found three verses. There's three things. The first thing is, these things have I written unto you, talking about the words of the Bible, that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. We want you to know that you have eternal life. And I showed this to Emily the day after she got saved. She held out her little hand, and I said, Jesus will never leave me. If He comes in there, He's dead. He's not going to go out. And they can know that. And so He wrote the Bible so that we could know that. And the three things we got to know, that we got to know that we're a sinner, we got to know there's a price on sin, and we got to know that Jesus paid that price. Three things we got to do. We got to believe that Jesus is God's Son. We got to believe that He died and rose again. And we got to call upon Him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if they can understand that, they can be saved. So children can be saved. Adults can be saved. And so we're going to have a baptism today. And so we're going to have a word of prayer. We'll have an invitation. And again, I know there's more people listening at home than there are here today. But praise the Lord, we're here and we're going to see little Emmy get baptized today. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, we thank you for the Bible. And obviously we saw many, many verses today where it shows that you keep a child safe. We saw David's child with Bathsheba die. And David said he was in heaven. I can go to him, but he can't come back to me. And then we saw the truths that before they know the evil and the good, and before they're not ignorant about the things, that you keep them safe. But then obviously, God, we saw that it's the parents' responsibility, the Sunday school teacher's responsibility, the preacher's responsibility, the old teaching the young listening to the old. It's all set up in the Bible to how that we can add to that measure of faith that you created us with. And then we can hear the Word of God and it'll strengthen our faith. And then we saw, Lord, that the Holy Spirit is the one that has to draw. And we thank you for that. So, Lord, if there's anyone here today that's not saved, we ask you to draw. And, Lord, they can ask anybody or they can pick up one of these tracts on the way out from the track rack. Because it even says that a suggested prayer. It's not the prayer that saves us. It's our faith in you that saves us. And, Lord, we just ask you to just have your will and way in this invitation in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us in the invitation and then he'll take over while I go change.